The game of healing. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Our instant inspiration this evening is the game of healing. Everybody wants to play games. They enjoy playing games. They think games are just lots of fun. But when you talk to them about the game of healing, they say, well, now, just a minute, that's kind of serious stuff. We don't want to talk about healing as a game. Well, what got you needing healing was a game. You played the game of not liking yourself. You played the game of being unhappy with yourself. You played the game of sticking your nose in other people's business. You played the game of telling the world that it was less than perfect, starting with you. And these are all games. You say, well, I would never play a game like that. Well, then I ask you, who are you?
I'm number one. I'm God. I'm divine. I'm fantastic. I'm fabulous.
Forget it. I asked you who you are, and you didn't bother answering. It took you a long time to answer. I clicked my finger, and I said, answer. You know, come on, answer. And you took a long time to play the game. Some of you didn't even play the game. You didn't even play the game. And so, therefore, you were playing the game, but not playing the game. You were saying, you want me to say I'm God, huh? You want me to say that I'm the creator of my world? You want me to say that everything I do, I bring forth in my world by my thought? You want me to say that I'm responsible for my healing. I'm responsible for my health. I'm responsible for my wholeness. I'm responsible for who I am. No, I don't say that. I don't say that. You say that. I don't say that. Is there anyone in this world that can make you happy?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Is there anyone in this world that can make you happy?
Yes.
Who?
Me.
Exactly. Is there anyone in this world who can make you unhappy?
Yes. Me.
Yes. Yourself? Yes. Yes, come before you, me. But yes, me. And the only person in the world that can make us unhappy individually is ourself. Mm-hmm. Now, the only person that can make us happy is ourself. If, therefore, that is ipso facto, the fact, then how can we blame anybody or anything for anything that we experience that is not too great? For instance, are you rich? And if you're rich, then you have lots of money. If you haven't got lots of money, it's because you don't think you're rich. Now, if you're thinking you're rich, if you're living as a rich person, you got lots of money. Well, Herb, you don't have all the money you want. You don't have all this that you want. Hey, we're not talking about me. We're talking about the principle here. The Pharaoh could have had a Lincoln Continental car to drive around in if he chose to, because it existed in consciousness. All he had to do was, he need gas. Hey, the Pharaoh could manifest a full tank of gas that lasts forever, too. Now, is gas being developed that can give you 100 miles to a gallon and 200 miles to a gallon? Yeah. Is there fuel being developed that doesn't need any fuel? That just is? Mm-hmm. Is there locomotion developed that doesn't need any type of a motor or any type of an apparatus? Just our thought, teleportation and things like that? Oh, well, that's our dream stuff. Hey. Yesterday's dream stuff is today's reality. Mm-hmm. Yesterday's dream stuff, I constantly go back to this little bed that I like so much. I was reading in a science fiction book years ago, and this was a spaceship in outer space. And every 6 months or a year, each person on the spaceship would go lie down on this bed in this room. And the bed in the room was a foamy type of stuff, you know. You know, you lay on it, it's really slippery, and it's foamy. It just covered your face and everything. And you stayed there for as long as you wanted. And then after you felt like you wanted to, then you got up. And when you got up, you were the same age you were as when you started the voyage. You were the same health you were as you started the voyage. You were the same mentality you were as you started the voyage. Except that the wisdom you gained over the period of time that you were there is still with you. But isn't that interesting? That's a neat, like, little bed to have, isn't it? To just plop in there and retain your youthfulness and your dynamic yourself, and that will be one day. They're talking about it even now. It's not impossible. It's not close, but it's not impossible. Now, the game of healing is the game of seeing yourself whole and perfect. Now, today Ellen and I were playing the game of healer with one of our students, one of our friends, and the person came in and he was talking about his wife. And his wife is a very magnificent lady. And he loves her very dearly. He wants to walk down life's trail with her continuously and ride horseback with her and do all the things that she loves and he loves. But Ellen and I were playing a game with him. And the game was played by what? What were we, healers or practitioners or ministers? What were we? Anybody get the answer? Schnell, please. Thank you. Boy, pulling answers out of you guys like pulling hen's teeth, and the teeth hen doesn't have any teeth. So, a practitioner. Now, how does a practitioner respond? A practitioner responds by saying, I see your wife whole and perfect right now. I see you whole and perfect right now. Goodbye. But we didn't do that. We talked with him. We shared with him. We shared the philosophy. He said, yeah, that's what I believe too. And we gave him positive ideas to think about, and we gave him positive illustrations to think about and comparative illustrations to think about. And we talked to him for at least an hour. And he was very interested. He wanted to stay and keep on talking. He was doing real fine. And Ellen gave her rendition, and I gave my rendition. And I know he left with a rather confused determination of what he's going to do. Because there should be only one practitioner. And if Ellen wants me to be the practitioner, she should be quiet. And let me be the practitioner. Let me take the case from onset to outset to finish and carry it through and see how I do it. Or she should do it, which is perfectly fine with me. But no, she wanted me to be there and to counsel with him. And so I did. But you see, she started bringing up things which to me were a little different approach than I would have used. Not wrong, but a little different approach. And so therefore I was stifled. I had to stop my approach because it wasn't harmonious with where she was heading. And then I started again, and again she brought up her approach, which was not my approach. Now, what I'm saying to you is not that Ellen is wrong or I'm right or I'm wrong and Ellen's right. That's not the point. I'm saying to you, we're playing a game. Now, in the game there can only be one set of rules. And what is the set of rules that there is? It's the rules of, what do you think, sir? What is your point of view, sir? How are you having an attitude about this? Do you... You see, I wanted him to respect himself. I wanted him to respect his world. I wanted him to realize just who he was and how wonderful he was. And so the moment I heard about his daughter... We spoke about his daughter, and he raised her from the age of 3, and he did not call her his specific daughter, he called her stepdaughter. And I said, well, you raised her since she's 3, my God, she's your daughter. I never adopted her. Well, you don't have to adopt people physically and legally, you can adopt them mentally. And once you adopt them mentally, they're yours. They're yours forever. And they know it, and you know it. And if any, he said, I would just do anything for her. I really believe in her, and I really love her very much. Well, you don't call a person your stepdaughter who is someone that you love like that. Now, we saw, what is it, 3 is a crowd, or 8 and 10 kids that, in 2 families that got married. Yeah. What was the name of that show, huh?
Yours, mine, ours.
Yours, mine, and ours. Okay. Now, what was the most emotionally telling part of the show.
When they adopted each other.
When the two families adopted each other and said, we are
one
family. We are one. We are one. Healing takes place when you are one. I wanted this man to have the mental healing of being one with his daughter so that he could be one with his wife. You see, between us, there is always a separation. There's always a separation that's your daughter. That's your world. That's, you know, I raised her and I love her and I think she's wonderful, but it's yours, you know. And until you can be one, there's no healing. Until you can be one, there's no wholeness. There's no oneness. In fact, we had that in our letter this morning, didn't we? Only when there's oneness is there wholeness. Only when there's oneness is everything in divine right order. So, the more illustrations you give about healing, the more confusing it becomes. What is it a person says when they would experience healing in their mind and body and spirit? What do they say? Anything, anybody want to say?
I'm more imperfect.
Yeah? Well, then shut up. What does one say?
I live in my...
What does one say?
I don't remember.
You're a bunch of dunderheads.
I live my...
Hush. You're a bunch of dunderheads. You said it. But the rest of them, they don't say anything. Inga opens her mouth, but she doesn't say anything. Aren't you, you know, Inga, you're really not worth anything. You're not worth a hill of beans because you don't believe in yourself. If you believe in yourself, you would realize that your words are just as important as anybody else's. Your comments are just as important as anybody else's. That's a healing. That's a healing. Now, if you're going to sit back and feel sorry for yourself, this is not the place to do it. This is not the place to do it. Because there's nobody here that feels sorry for themselves, because we give everybody the opportunity to speak up. And because some of you may not agree with each other, hey, that's cool. That's part of being human beings. But when I ask you to say something, your mouth should be filled with wonderful ideas and wonderful words and wonderful concepts, because you're practitioners. You're working on this. So you see, when someone comes up and wants a healing, the first thing you say is, let me see now, what were the conditions that brought this on? Where is the dirty work as foul there? What sort of attitudes did she have in her childhood that may have brought these things about? What sort of attitudes did she have about this and that and the other thing? You know, you understand me? We are practitioners. And our job is merely to be cold and one-pointed. We say to the person, you're home perfect. When Dodie had her incident with her knee, we said, you're home perfect. We didn't say, oh, Dodie, my God, did you break it in? Did you do this? Oh, Dodie, did you do that? You know, if we had done that, Dodie would have had the entire plethora of incidents that would come from falling down. But instead, we said, you're whole and perfect. And she got up, and she had to claim some little problem, so she claimed her knee was bumped. But did anything happen to her knee? No. Did the doctors x-ray her knee? Yes. Was there anything wrong with it? No. She had a little bruise there, which swelled up a little bit. But was there anything wrong? No. And is Dodie going around here acting like a cripple?
No.
No. She's walking around here, believing in herself, loving herself, and being healed right now. You see, when we want to play the game of healing, you have to play the game that you're the winner. If you ever want to play Monopoly or chess or something like that with me, you better be prepared to lose, because I'm going to win. And if you think you're going to win, you got another guess coming. Because I win every game I play. Or I don't play them. Now, can you have that same attitude at going into a game and win over somebody else who has a similar attitude? Who really believes in themselves? Who really believes in their capacity to play the game exceedingly well. Who?
I.
Whoever wants to win. Whoever wants to win. Now, if you want to play the game, then get yourself out there and believe in yourself. If we had said to Dodie, oh, don't walk on that leg. Oh, don't do this. Oh, don't do that. We said, hey, come on. The car is over here. And so she hobbles over to the car. Now, if the leg were broken or if the bones were out of place, and then what did our friend say when we told him about Dodie taking a spill? He said, well, his mother-in-law took a spill, and she cracked her hip, and she's the same age as Dodie, and she broke it all up, and blah, 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 blah. You know, old people have bones that crack and things. Why do we need to have a statement like that? Do young people have bones that crack?
Yeah.
Do middle-aged people have bones that crack? Well, let's not put blame on the old people and say that's a senility of age, is that bones that crack. That's silly. That's silly. Did you ever get up from a nap where you were soundly sleeping and people started asking you questions? Hey, how are you doing? What's going on? What you talking about? You're a senile old lady, you know, 20 years old, just got up from a nap, deep sleep, and somebody starts asking questions you can't answer. You're senile. You see, we make these labels, and they're so silly. They have no bearing in truth. And we want to always play the game of health. So when we play the game of health, the first word is shut up. The first word is shut up. Now, why is the first word that very not nice word of shut up? Because we must remember, they came to us for healing. We don't know anything else but wholeness for them. If our own consciousness needs to be cleaned up because we look at appearances, then clean it up. But don't look. That's why absent healing is so easy. You don't have to look at the appearances. You can just speak your word and speak your word. But you don't know my problem. Thank goodness, that's right. All we know is that you're whole and perfect. You want to learn to play the game. Now, here in the monastery, we're learning to play the game of looking at illusions and not believing in them. Looking at illusions and seeing the truth behind them. We look at someone's confusion, and we know it's an illusion, and we just leave it be. We look at someone's problem, and we know that it's nothing, and we just let it be. But if we're going to continually bring it up, as we have done, we're asking for trouble. We're asking for trouble. Ellen knows that we do not talk about the problem. We do not talk about the car crash and into the tree and blood and guts everywhere and this and that and the other thing, right?
Yes.
But boy, you should have heard her tell the story of your fall. Your fall was a dramatic event, and all of the whole Starbucks restaurant came out to offer assistance and lift you up and help you, and you just got up virtually by yourself and sat in the chair and said, hey, I'm whole and perfect. And they all looked at you and said, my gosh, what a woman that is. And this is what we all want to do. But if we're going to keep painting the picture of the great fall of Dodie Zimmerman, or the great fire of Dodie Zimmerman, that'd be a fun thing to play. Oh, we should really talk about that. And the great, whatever else was great in your life, Dodie, that was very dramatic and so forth, forget it. Mm-hmm. We're playing the game of healing, of wholeness. Let us let go of all incidences in our life that were less than whole. Let's put the cause in motion right now that we live a life of wholeness, perfection, peace, beauty, right action, truth. And that is all we'll know. Now you say, well, problems come to greet us every day. That's right. And handle them each day by saying, I am the pure white light of love. I am surrounded by harmonious beings and harmonious circumstances. All my ways are peace and all my paths are pleasantness. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am wealthy. I am successful in all my endeavors. All my investments are high return, stable, and I'm clear. Can you say that? Can you make those simple statements without a lot of falderal, saying, I am eternally, specially, wonderfully healthy. My body is filled with life, love, peace, harmony, and goodness. I mean, that's all good stuff. That's all good stuff. But your basic statement should be simple so that the law operates on the simple basic statement and not on your confused interpretation of what it is. If I say to you, what would I say? You know the answers to these questions. What does magnificent mean to you? It means great, wonderful, fantastic, glorious. What does beautiful mean to you? It means good-looking, charming, so forth and so on. But then I turn to Ingeborg, and I say, Inga, what does magnificent mean to you? She says, oh, magnificent to me means the greatest, that there is no comparison to it. And Ingeborg, what's the other word we use there?
Beautiful.
Just beautiful. Now, what does beautiful mean to you, Inga? And so Inga says, well, beautiful means to me that how I look, how I go through life. I'm a beautiful being. Well, now, so we have several interpretations already of the word. So if we get words that have many interpretations, now, what does the word I am whole and perfect mean? Or I'm just whole, what does it mean? That means we're expressing our original purity and integrity, right?
Right.
What does it mean when we say, I am wealthy?
I'm independent. The abundance of the universe.
You mean, it means you are the abundance of the universe and you have access to it in any amount you want, for any purpose you want, with no judgment, you know? Mm. And when you say, I am successful in all my endeavors, what does that mean?
Rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm wealthy.
What?
I'm the winner in everything I do.
I'm the winner in everything I do. What did you say?
Rich, wealthy.
Oh, I see. You're giving me words. I see. Okay. Yeah, that's true. And all my investments are high return, stable. What does that mean?
Exactly what it says.
Wherever I have money, it's working for me. And that's lovely, isn't it? And what does it mean? I am free.
That's not your favorite. I'm free. That means I'm not free.
All right, what does it mean? What? How do we want to say that?
I'm
myself
I'm
and have
free.
Fun.
I'm, for me, it's being free from my human limitation.
All right, what's another word that we might say? Integrity or some other word like that. Think about it. But now think about it and come up with it.
I'm myself and have fun. That's the
right. I am myself and have fun. That's great. But always, healing is a game. And the game of healing is played by our being very, very careful of the words we speak, of the illustrations we use, and the things that we do. And all of us are a practitioner, and our work as a practitioner is first to heal ourselves relative to the other person or circumstance, and then to see those things as already done, because there's nothing to heal.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing, and it's a good game. So enjoy and become very successful in playing the game. I love you, I love you, I love you.
I am successful.